Alrighty, good morning again. Let's open up to a couple places real quick. First of all, Job, book of Job, chapter 6. Job chapter 6, and then also Revelation 21. Job 6, then Revelation 21. All right, Job 6 to begin. I'm just going to have a verse or two to read here. Look, if you will, down in verse 14. Job is in the midst and the throes of his great trial and beset around about by friends that are more adversaries than they are friends, really. But he says this, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks," the Bible says, "they pass away." Now, if you'll take a Revelation 21 in hand, this is way up in the future when the new heavens and the new earth are formed. And chapter 21, verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things," it says, "are passed away." Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we come back to you this morning and look forward to Brother Spurgeon being here this week. Grateful for another young and born father, first of all, Colin and Hannah, but also for John and Emma. And pray that you'll just be with the moms and the babies as they recover. But we thank you for your goodness to us, all the stuff that's going to be going on these next few weeks. We just pray you might help us to focus here tonight or this morning to the sermon, Father. I pray that you might speak to our hearts, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what you read here was the first and last occurrence of a deeply important Bible phrase, okay? In Job 6, we heard about Job's friends, and he spoke about them as men passing away, as brooks. They pass away. Now, everybody knows that men pass away. We use that phrase as a more polite, less shocking, gentler term than dying or being killed or kicking the bucket. But when we say somebody passes away, we know what we mean. In Revelation 21, it's the last occurrence of the phrase, but it says there that the former things will pass away. And that means that they're just gone. It's hard to imagine that. So, again, something of deep importance here. I think that maybe among the things that I've studied recently, nothing so illustrates, first of all, two things. The hopeless despair of a man or a woman living his 70 or 80 or 90 years here without Jesus Christ. On the other hand, when I study things that pass away, I am reminded of just what a blessed and glorious hope we Christians have. And I want to just take some time to kind of sort this out here this morning. You know, worldly men are locked into a kind of a false reality. And by that I mean, I'm talking about the commonest, vilest of men, but I also talk about the most brilliant, the richest, the most influential, the most powerful, the guys that are the very smartest, those who have reputations for being pioneers and things, and they're going to lead us into the future, they say, all those things. But those guys are on, in their own way, imprisoned in a bubble of a false reality. And by that I mean that all of them, without fail, don't know where we came from. And they don't know where we're going. No matter what he says he knows, and no matter what theory he decides to propound, he does not know what is on the other side of the veil. He knows full well he's mortal. He knows full well he's going to die one day. But as it is, he just doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know where he came from. Doesn't know where he's coming. He has 1,000 ideas, 1,000 philosophies. It may sound extremely impressive to us all, but in the end, he simply doesn't know. And in the end, there's nothing for him to do but play out the cards. There's no way out. That's the reality. No matter how smart, how high, how low, how sorry, how noble he is, without light from the Bible, without knowing anything that about his Creator, he is left not knowing where he came from, truly not where he's at, nor where he's going, and he can only play the cards. He can only let one day slip past another. He's just locked there. The Bible describes lost men as groping in darkness, groping against the wall. They have no insight. They have no revelation. They don't know, again, where they came from, where they're going. They're groping. They're the herd of swine in Jesus' day, running down the hill, demon-possessed, and they're all going to jump off into the lake and die. But they're happy while they're running. It's kind of one of those deals. And yet, at the same time, by simply studying what passes away, those of us that are in Jesus Christ can see just what a wondrous emancipation from the lost life we have and get to enjoy. Let me preach to you for a little while this morning about what passes away. This is the Bible's view of things that pass away. Now, a lot of this won't be new at first anyway. Look in Job chapter 9, just a chapter or two over from where we were. I'll also have you turn, if you could, turn to just a few places this morning to Psalms 90. Be better for you to see it than just hear it. But Job chapter 9, let me point out something that passes away real quick. We'll all get to say amen, but there's something special for us here. Job chapter 9, going down to verse 25, where it says, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey." Those days, they pass away. They are passed away. Look in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 9, where David laments, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." You can read that as a tally. Says in verse 10, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." But again in verse 9, those days pass away. I would point out to you that one thing that passes away for both lost and saved are days. Who hasn't lamented that time flies? I mean, it's a cliche. It's so true that now folks say it without thinking. They may have a moment of just reflection, but it's just true that time flies. Days run unto days. Weeks unto weeks, months to months, and years to year. And before you know it, you're playing with decades. Man, the years pile up in a marriage, don't they? Some of you don't know because you've only been married for a few months, a few years. But The days pile up in a marriage. Man, kids grow up fast. And if you ever thought about it, but if you live to be 100 years old, you're going to have lived, I'm talking about round numbers here, not playing with leap years and stuff, 36,500 days. If you make it to 100, you will have lived over 36,000 days. I know that sounds like a lot, But man, by the time you hit 50 or 60, you're thinking, whoa, there's an end to those days. You say, well, what are you trying to get at, Brother Stevens? Well, there are some great time managers in the world. There are some guys that make the most of it. They're busy making money and building industry and all those things. And a lot of those guys, they know how to manage time. And as well as they manage it, it still doesn't keep those days from flowing away. In fact, the matter, you can easily remember just being here this last Sunday. Look at it. Another week's passed. How long ago was it that July passed? That June passed? It was a month. Look how fast that month went. Look how fast the last year went. Look how fast the last 10 years went. Say, well, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, it must haunt lost men who don't know where they came from, don't know where they're going, and really, biblically, don't know where they're at. That the days tick by one after another. Our lives are all like leaky, rusty sieves. We're leaking days like crazy. We're leaking weeks. And, if all you've got in this life is just this life, then those days are swiftly going away. It's not leaking slow. It's leaking fast. I just wonder how it must haunt. See, I've been saved for a long time. And I've had Christ for a long time and rested in those promises for a long time. But I'm thinking, now I'm 62, and if I'm 62 and without Christ, I'm beginning to look out towards the end and having to wonder what comes next. And I can't help but wonder how many men are haunted by that, because I find that men are haunted by it. You live in a kind of a mad, delusive world where it seems like in so many places the world no longer thinks logically or reasonably about some things. And I can't help but wonder if that madness and delusion has been in part fed by the despair, the anguish, the desolation of just seeing all your days pass, and now you're in the last third of your life, the last quarter of your life, the last decade of your life, likely. And that it just goes away, and it just seems so hopeless. Because the days, they just pass away, and you never get any of them back. Right? I mean, I don't want to be brutal with you this morning, but that's just the way it is. And even for a Christian, somebody that's not grounded in those promises, it can be a melancholy thought. So days, those days pass away, and I think of what a desolation it must be for somebody that has no hope, that really has no clue or insight into what comes after this life. I can't help but think what a desolate thing it would be to watch the days of your life just slip by, just like, just like stripes on a road as you go 70 miles an hour. But at the same time, I think how liberating it is to be saved. What an emancipation it is to, what a release to be saved, knowing, let me quote you a couple of verses here because I've got a lot of Bible to turn to, so I'm not going to run you to everything. I'm quoting you Ephesians 3:21 here for the moment. It's Christ's, or Paul's closing Ephesians 3. He says, "Unto him, Christ, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. That's Paul saying, one day the days are all going to run out and the ages, in fact, are all going to run out, but you're going to go on forever and ever. It's talking about a Christian, okay? It's not talking about a lost guy. It's talking about a Christian. He says in Ephesians 2, "He hath raised us up together, made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, for whatever a Christian can say, the days, the mortal days of this temporal life may pass away, and they may fly by, like I said, like the stripes on a road. But the fact of the matter is that we still have ages and ages to look forward to. We have ages, with world without end to look forward to in Jesus Christ. And I just think how hopeless it must be for somebody who's an evolutionist to think that, boy, when I'm done here with my last few days of life, it's just over. And what does over even mean? But for us, we have given the absolute promises that we have life eternal. Eternal days. Everlasting days. Man, ladies and gentlemen, your legacy is forever. What a Christian inherits is forever and ever and ever. You'll live as long as God lives. Forever. And so, first of all, I just think about the days, the Bible says, that pass away. And what a remorseful, anguished thing that must be for a man without the hope of Christ to live out his life, see them all slip away, know that he's had, 30,000 days to do something legitimate, only to slip off into what we know is a lake of fire. What a terrible thing. But for us, what a wonderful thing. You need that answer in this life. You got to take care of business before you get up to that veil. I want to say something else along those lines. There's something else that you should know that passes away. It's important. Look again in Job chapter 6. Then I'm going to have you turn to three or four passages here just to get the idea. But Job chapter 6. This was our original text. It's the first occurrence of passing away in the Bible. And Job is complaining about his friends. He says in verse 15, "My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, as the stream of brooks they pass away." Yeah, they're dying too. Look over in Job 34. Job 34, go down to verse 20. "In a moment shall they die." Job 34, 20. "And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand." Look in Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Psalm 37, go down to verse 35. Context: "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passeth away." So all men do, including the wicked. "He passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." One more, Psalm 58. Psalm 58. It's talking about wicked men, but it says in verse 7, "Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun." But again, there's somebody passing away. It's a wicked guy being judged. But I just want to say, one of the things you learn from the Bible that the Bible places in these categories is that men pass away. And again, we know that well. We use the polite term sometimes that, well, so-and-so passed away, instead of saying he died or whatever's the case. But all acknowledge that men pass away. How can you forget the fact that men pass away? Men pass away every day. The Bible says this about flesh, that all flesh is a wind that passeth away. It says that their days are a shadow that passeth away. The Bible says in James that your life is a vapor. And while it doesn't use the term passing away, you get the idea. Vapor doesn't last long in one place. I can go on to say this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that one generation, Solomon said, passeth away and another cometh. I mean, entire generations of people come and go. They've come and gone For as long as there have been men upon this earth, you're not going to escape. Men pass away just like time passes away. Isaiah 29 says that the terrible ones, that the hardest, the most brutal soldiers, they too in time, they pass away. It says that men pass away as stubble. It says that men pass away as grass. It says that men pass away as dew. None of those things very lasting. You get the idea that in his natural state, man just doesn't last that long. His days pass, and along the way, so do men. And again, I can't help but pull back and contemplate. I've been saved for 50 plus years and had the hope of Christ for all those years and really have been working at it for the last 40, okay? But, you know, I stop and think about the despair, the hopelessness that must fill the lives of somebody that's past, you know, my age, somebody that's 45 or 50 or 60. And, you know, he spent his lifetime, you know, laboring and so on, but he's adopted atheism. And so he has no hope. He has no hope whatsoever. He has expectation that he's just going to die and lay down in the dirt and rot. But what kind of hope is it? What despair must fill the life of a man who's watching his grandchildren play, his wife beside him, and goods and material and all those things, and he knows that one day he's just going to conk off and go. He passes away. An atheist, an evolutionist, an Epicurean who has a desire to suck out of life all the possible fun he ever possibly could, only one day just to pass away and die. I can't help but think, you know, it's been so long since I didn't have the knowledge that when I died, I was going to go on and live forever spiritually. It's hard for me to stop and think sometimes now what a despair it must be for somebody who doesn't have that hope. Now, if you're here this morning, you have that hope, don't you? I mean, you have hope in Christ, the one that died for your sins and promised to wash your sins away in his blood if you trust him. And you're sitting here now and your days are flying past. If you are over 30 or 35 years old, your days are flying. Seems like when you're 17, days don't fly. Seems like when you're 10 and doing chores, days just go on forever. It's like eternity. But boy, you get to be 35 or 40, you start having kids and getting married, and those kids are big before you know it. Man, time flies. Man, days fly, and before you know it, you're out of days, and you're going to pass away. Say, well, you Christians pass away too. Well, now, wait a second, because actually, if you go look it up in the Bible, there is never a designation that Christians pass away. It says instead that what we do is sleep, with the clear indication that we're going to wake up. I don't deny that we die in the flesh, but Jesus Christ said an interesting thing. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God, I'm not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. That was a correction. Those folks were saying, you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're worried about dead people. He said, you don't understand. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am not the God of the dead, but of the living. He was saying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were living. They weren't living here anymore, but they're living. Philippians says to be absent from the body. No, I'm sorry. Philippians says, in me, I can't start it for some reason. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. As soon as I see it, off it goes for sure. But, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I mean, only a Christian can say that. That man, kick the bucket today, I'm better off. Right? But for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. You know, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, he didn't say they're never going to die physically. He didn't say they're going to pass away. Instead, the prophets talk about Christians falling on sleep, that we're going to sleep and then wake up out of the dust one day. But he said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Ladies and gentlemen, you study what passes away, and you have time, and then you have men. And Jesus Christ promised, what an emancipating thing, that while we may all have to die physically, that you never see death spiritually ever again, and then you come back and get that life out of the dust. Let me point you to something else. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Things that pass away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go on down to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Days certainly pass away. It is also certainly true that men pass away. And the Bible says here clearly that old things pass away for a Christian. Old things. Now, I think it's sad for lost people, folks that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, folks that have never maybe heard it completely, have not responded to it entirely. But for lost men, I want you to know it's ever and always old things. Anything, all new things for the average person in this world, all new things are just old things revamped, restored, recycled, and then regurgitated. There is nothing new under the sun. It's just something redone. The bright, shiny new idea, the bright, shiny new religion, the bright, shiny new reform, it's as old as dirt. They just keep regurgitating, revamping old religions, old philosophies. It just keeps coming back and back and back and back. It's like a bad fad or a bad fashion. Eventually all bell bottoms come back. But it's that way. And you know, a 70 or 80 year old who's been around for a while, he looks around and he sees that this is just seasonal. It's a cycle. It just keeps coming and coming. And whatever the religion, the philosophy of the day, the societal move of the day, it's something that's already been tried, already been done and failed, and they're just regurgitating it now for a new generation. And a 70 or 80 year old has seen that cycle often enough to realize that something's terribly wrong here. And you know, I just think of the despair of college professors and college students and the social engineers of our day and our era who just keep going back to these old things and nothing ever really changes. Things just keep degrading. It's just the same old story over and over. For them, old things never pass away. Old things is all they know. You can put new on it a million times and throw all kinds of money into marketing, and there's still nothing new under the sun. But the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ladies and gentlemen, by a new birth, a new creature is made. Only God does that. What an emancipating, what a liberating thing to know that I was born wrong, but was recreated in Christ Jesus and that I am now a new creature in Christ. That's the most liberating thing you can ever hear, because the world has nothing like that. No amount of education, no philosophy has anything like that whatsoever. I have a new location. If any man be in Christ is the key. If you're not in Christ, you're damned. If you're not in Christ, you're condemned. Jesus Christ died so that He could bear your sins in His own body on the tree, and so that you could be made one with Him in Christ, over and over again in Paul's epistles. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Any man in Christ Jesus is a new creature. It's an invitation. If any man be in Christ, not just a certain class, not just a certain category, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's an invitation. Anybody ever accepted that invitation here? It's a possession. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's a possession, a recreation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not an old creature revamped, not an old drunk that's been through the 12 steps. No, he's not still a drunk. He's a new creature. Paul goes through and names off adulterers, whoremongers, etc., etc., and said, such were some of you, but you're washed. Amen. You're sanctified. You're justified. Listen, Jesus Christ gives you a regeneration, a new birth. You're made a new creature in Him. A new creation and a resurrection. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. These are spiritual things. Every person here that's received Jesus Christ as his Savior is a spiritual new creature in Christ with a brand new standing. And your standing in God in Christ is sinless perfection, because He died for your sins and paid the price for you. Now, it takes a new birth to become a new creature. Have you had a new birth? You know, because I'll tell you this, the days are flying. The days pass. I'll tell you this, men pass away. I can't name you the number of people that I know that have, you know, personally, that have died. And I can also testify that old things for a Christian pass away. And you need that. There's something else I'd have you see. Look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Again, I don't know of anything that quite so draws the line, the contrast between lost people and saved, than that lost people are locked into things passing away, dying, or else they even have passed away. Look in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 and go down to verse 35. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All right, I want to say, it's not the way the environmentalists say it is, but the heavens and the earth will pass away. They're passing away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Many live their entire lives in service to this world and all things that are visible and tangible and that are sentient, that you can touch and feel. Some folks spend their entire lives with that. All of life hinges on the material, the things of this world. Everything from stuff to kids to career, everything depends on the stuff. All that stuff, the Bible says, the heaven and the earth shall pass away. All those things will one day pass away. Well, after that's passed away, what is left? But my word shall not pass away. We are taught that the worlds are framed upon the Word of God. In the end, what we learn when all this heaven and the earth pass away is that it was all hanged upon the Word of God. And I just want to say here this morning that material and worldly things are going to pass. Now, I know for many, they think that the world is forever, that what we know here now is what's just going to go on and on, because they've been taught that it's gone on virtually forever. I mean, what's billions and billions of years, but basically forever in the past. It's just going to keep going forever and ever, but it's not. It's really not. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3, over and over again, the Lord warns and testifies that there's coming a day that all those things pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, going down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements themselves, oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, zinc, all those elements of the periodic table will melt, the Bible says, with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Those things are going to pass away. All that's in the earth, all the works of it. Look in nearby, 1 John chapter 2. It testifies of it over and over again. 1 John chapter 2. Notice down in verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God endureth or abideth forever. It says there that the world and all the lusts in that world, all the wretchedness in that world eventually goes away. Ladies and gentlemen, what you see here, the reality that we all must live in temporally here for the moment. The Christian has something else because we have a spiritual life in Christ, but for the moment, temporally, it just seems like this is going to be the way it is. It's not. It's going away. It's passing away one day. I have a verse for you in 1 Corinthians 7 where it says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Just how the world works, all the fads, the fashions, the comings, the goings. I know that there's a teenager that, you know, she just thinks she's the coolest thing for these new clothes she's got on. She's the cutting edge, the trend. Somewhere in this world, there's a whole group of 65-year-old women that wore the exact same thing you did. Because it's all cyclical. It's all seasonal. It's all a fad. It's all a fashion. It just comes and goes. And men miss it because it's spread out over a couple of generations. But one of these days, those things pass away. Daniel says that there's coming a day that Jesus Christ is going to set up a kingdom. It is a kingdom that will never pass away. In fact, it's a kingdom in which there is no end. Now, folks, God asked us to put faith in things that are eternal. Okay? The world lives by believing lies. They have faith in lies. They believe evolution. They believe all kinds of things. Now, God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God has told us, asked us to believe that what He says is true, first of all. Then He sent His Son, who, by the way, died and rose from the dead. The seal of prophecy. I just want to say, one day, all these things that we know and see here, they are going to pass away. And what's going to be left is like nothing that you ever saw in your life. Let me just go on and touch a couple other things. Look, if you will, in James chapter 1. James 1. I only have a couple points left. But we have seen that days pass away. Boy, the days go. They can never be recovered. For a Christian, though, our days stretch out eternally because God has given us to eternal life. And men pass away. We are reminded that one day we only sleep. That one day we get out of the grave. But not a lost guy. We're reminded that old things are passed away. And so that's good for us because the old life, the old sins, it's gone. It's gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Behold, pow, all things are become new. right? And material and worldly things will pass. Look in James chapter 1. Let me start there. James 1. And notice down in verse 10 what he says. He says, but the rich, and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, notice he shall pass away. He's going to pass away like the flower of the grass. Well, that's not very impressive, right? But look in 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's connect grass. 1 Peter chapter 1, going down to verse 24, and you're going to learn something that passes away. It's well worth taking heed to. And notice verse 24, for all flesh is as grass. That's what James just said. So we're not that enduring. All flesh is as grass. Doesn't live all that long, just a summer season, if that, unless the drought hits. And then it's back dormant and dead again. But all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Now, James just said that man's like a flower of grass, but all the glory of man is like the flower of grass. So let me tell you what's going to pass away. The glory of man. The glory of man. It's going to pass away. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about man's relationship to that glory. It says that man changed the glory of the incorruptible God and made it into an image like unto corruptible man and four-footed beasts and creeping things, right? Man has stolen God's glory and tried to impart that glory unto himself. And so, Super Bowls mean a lot to men. And, bodybuilding trophies, they mean a lot to men, and lots of money, and Stanley Cups, and Emmys, and Grammys, and Pulitzers, those all mean a lot to men. Doctorates, those mean a lot to men. It's a big deal to them. But, you don't have to go past too many Super Bowls, or Stanley Cups, or World Series to realize they all kind of fade in the past kind of quickly, and everybody forgets them, right? Second thing is that Hercules, that Adonis, that tremendous athlete, one day he just turns into a crumpled up old man. Schwarzenegger looks like a carcass right now, right? One day they lay down in the dirt and the worms eat them, right? You see, the glory of man is as a flower of grass. It passes away. The best that man can do. And I can, that's a terrible thing to leave sitting there, but I have a better hope for you. Okay? And the better hope is that Jesus Christ offers you life and offers, after this carcass lies down in the dirt, he's going to get it back up. And he's going to give it life again. Let me read a passage to you. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, he's talking about the glory of bodies in the heavens, the shining stars and the glittering stars and the shining sun and all those things. And he says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. The moon shines different than the sun, right? The stars shine different than the moon. Another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's talking about you lying down in the dirt and dying. And then it goes on to say in the end, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying here is that the glory of man passes away. And you're going to die physically if you're saved. You're going to die physically if you're lost. But if you're saved, you're going to die physically. And the Lord's going to come back and he's going to raise you up incorruptible in the resurrection. That's why he says, somebody that dies in the Lord is just going to sleep. Look, Vlad's just sleeping. My mom and dad have been dead now since I was in my early 20s. And all this time, they've just been sleeping because they were saved. Now, I want to say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you have glory yet in front of you, to whom God would make known. I mean, he's doing this for you. Would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man's glory passes away, but what we get when we get back up out of the grave is the glory of Jesus Christ. We're called to live for the glory of God now. And one day we get up out of the grave, ladies and gentlemen, and we get to abide in the glory of Jesus Christ. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man's glory passes away. So when we get up out of the grave, gentlemen, it's not our glory anymore. It's all his. And all the trophies in the world that you've won won't matter a single thing. Let me show you one last thing. Revelation chapter 24. Revelation chapter 24. So days pass away. Men, thank God old things passed away. All things have become new for a Christian. Material and worldly things pass away. The glory of man passes. Revelation chapter 21, it says this. Down in verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't know. Maybe this includes a lot of other things, but it's a closing category for me. Former things. Anything that was before is gone. Ladies and gentlemen, new heavens and new earth. All the life that you lived, all those scars, all those memories, all the tears, they're all wiped away. All the former things have passed. They're all gone. It's totally new. That's quite a hope. That's quite a hope. I don't know if it sounds like pie in the sky by and by to some or not. I know this. I have a better, fuller, more extraordinary hope than any lost guy who thinks he's got it all covered. If you've never been born again, you have not the slightest hope of acquiring these things, of experiencing these things, because you have to settle this matter on this side of the grave. You have to receive Christ as your Savior in this life. He died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day so he could give you life. And if you won't settle it this side, then you get to cross the veil. You're going to find there hell, judgment, then an eternal lake of fire. I wish I could say it's different, but it's not different. Everything that draws lost people, everything they sell their souls for, has passed away already, is passing away as the days and time goes by, and will pass away entirely. Now, they have a resolute faith that their evolution or their religion or their agnosticism or the scientist's word for it is the final word. But it's not. I know the one that has the final word. Meanwhile, we Christians, we've seen nothing. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yet we will see everything. Nothing of what he's promised us will pass away. Your eternal life will never pass away. Once you've risen out of the dust, you will never die. Your mansion's never going to rust. The new heavens and the new earth, they're never going to go away. Anything he's promised us is eternal. He says, come with me, I put you into eternal life, And one day, you're going to see it. For now, you walk by faith and not by sight. Like I said, mom and dad, they're not passed away. They're sleeping. Some of y'all remember the name Barney Riley. Remember Denny Kent? He didn't pass away. He's sleeping. Vlad didn't pass away. He's sleeping. Before too long, there'll be some other folks that we know, probably collectively, that don't pass away, but they'll be sleeping. One day the Lord will shout their name and they'll get up out of the dust and off we go where nothing passes away. So again, to me, what the study of just those two simple words in the Bible does is it contrasts the lot of a lost man for whom everything is passing and eventually will pass. It's all gone. And all that's left is the reality of damnation in a lake of fire. But for us, you know, we're going to see some things physically go here, but will never pass away. Never pass away. It's quite a contrast. Quite a contrast. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you for your attention.